Frozen Hibiscus, an award nomination, and a book review, this time on A Gardener's Notebook. This is A Gardener's Notebook with Douglas E. Welch. For more information on the notebook, visit our website at welchwrite.com/AGN. That's welchwrite.com/AGN. I'd love to hear what's going on in your garden. Send your questions and comments to AGN@welchwrite.com. Post them as comments on the website. Or call our listener line at 206-338-5832. Again, that's 206-338-5832. It's hard to believe it's the end of April, but time comes and goes. We're heavy into the Little League season with my son, coming up on playoffs. Though we've been spending a lot of time at the ball field lately. Of course, that means less time in the garden and less time for a lot of other things. You may remember from previous blog posts and podcasts that we had a couple of pretty mature hibiscus plants along the southern border of our property that got nailed very heavily with the frost we had a few months ago. I've kind of kept a watch on them every time I stepped out into the garden to see if perhaps they'd recover and throw off some new growth. One of the older ones did almost immediately, not too far down on the existing stems. The one in the middle of the bed, though, was showing no signs of anything. I was beginning to imagine that we were going to have to just get rid of it entirely, but thank goodness I walked out the other day and noticed that way, way down on the plant, perhaps less than a foot off the ground, I am finally starting to see a little bit of growth. This means that the plant got hit pretty heavily with the frost, freezing entire stems, some of which were, bigger than a half inch, bigger than an inch, got frozen completely through and killed. It's good to see it coming back, though. Now I need to go out and prune both of these plants up. I'd been meaning to turn them more into bushes than the somewhat trees that they'd become over the years, and I had done a little bit of that, pruning back by a third each time I prune them, but this will at least give me some opportunity to see if I can get them to branch out a little bit more. They've been growing so tall that the flowers appeared taller than my head on the plant, and I would like to have more down at eye level, kind of fill in the area and block a little more of the somewhat decrepit fence that separates us from our neighbors. We finally got a little rain a couple weeks ago. It wasn't a large amount, and we're still very heavily into a drought environment here, but it was a pleasure to knock the dust down and give the plants in the garden a bit of natural watering. I was hoping we'd squeak out a little bit more, but looking at the weather report for the coming week, I'm seeing temperatures starting to creep up into the 80s and 90s and above. So it looks like spring might finally be coming to an end, and we're starting to settle into summer. About the only thing to look forward to in that regard is our June, where we usually have our June gloom, as we call it out here in Southern California. The marine layer, the fog layer from the ocean, pushes inland overnight and often takes a long time to burn off each day, and that moderates the temperatures a little bit so that we don't feel like we're going to cook in the first months of the summer. Around here, people complain about the June gloom a lot. I personally love it because it's on those days that I'm able to get gardening work done that I wouldn't be able to do during the clear and hot days of July or August. The birds have returned to the garden again. Nice to see them about. I've been doing some testing with a service called Ustream TV. That's U, the letter U, STREAM.TV. It allows me to send out a live video stream from the garden using only my either built-in webcam, my camcorder, and just a web browser. Quite a neat little service, and the quality of the video is actually quite amazing. if I can find a way to keep the connection a little more stable here from the home office, I might do more of that. You'll find a link on the website for the video stream, which is up, occasionally. If you see the window marked intermission at the bottom, it means the camera's not turned on right now. That said, I've been running my webcam a little bit more, sometimes showing the garden, sometimes showing the office. And you can find that at welchwright.com/webcam. That's just a still picture taken every 30 seconds. After seeing one of my reviews of his books, author Anthony Eglund contacted me via email to thank me for the review, and also was kind enough to send me a pre-release version of his third book in the English Garden Mystery series. This one's entitled The Water Lily Cross. The book's available starting May 1st, I believe. You can find a link on the website. For now, here's my review. Although he would be more comfortable restoring gardens and traveling about in his sporty 1964 TR4, Lawrence Kingston, botanical expert, finds himself once more engaged in another mysterious adventure. This third book in the English Garden Mystery Series has Kingston searching for an old friend who's disappeared, quite possibly kidnapped. It seems Kingston's friend has discovered a way to use water lilies to solve one of the world's most pressing problems. Crossword and anagram clues, helicopter flights, and threatening messages lead Kingston on a whirlwind and dangerous chase across the English countryside. Eglund's mysteries are always a great romp, combining two of my favorite things, mysteries and gardening. Lawrence Kingston is a character you wouldn't mind inviting into your home on a regular basis, and each new book is an opportunity to do just that. I can imagine sitting across from him, sipping his single malt scotch, as he recounts his latest tale of mystery or the details of a garden rejuvenation somewhere in the English countryside. Both are equally interesting to me. I will say, Eglund is so good at creating interesting supporting characters that I sometimes miss the young couple who discovered the blue rose and the American woman who owned the lost gardens from his earlier books. Perhaps he can return to them for a future adventure. The Water Lily Cross and Eglund's previous books are the perfect choice for some relaxing reading between your gardening chores. Pull the chaise lounge under your favorite tree or within the scent of your favorite roses and delve into the mysteries of the garden. You can pre-order the book from Amazon right now. You'll find a link on the website. Last time I mentioned the Mouse and Trowel Awards being set up by the folks over at inthegardenonline.com. When the nominations closed, I found that A Gardener's Notebook was up for the Best Gardening Podcast, along with two other very worthy competitors. You can vote for the finalists for the Mouse and Trowel Awards until May 11th. Visit inthegardenonline.com and look for the Mouse and Trowel Awards link. Thanks to all who nominated A Gardener's Notebook, and thanks for your vote. It's been a good year for roses, both here in my own garden and throughout the neighborhood. I've been quite amazed in my regular walks through the neighborhood just at the varieties and colors and size of some of the roses that are out there. Not sure exactly why that is. We haven't had a lot of rain. I do know that I did try to make a worthwhile effort to feed my own roses a little bit earlier in the year. I noticed here in my own back garden that the aphids came a lot later this year, and maybe that had something to do with it as well. I hope I can keep my roses reblooming throughout the summer. We have some that are single bloomers, but along the driveway, the bewitched roses will bloom again and again throughout the year. Sometimes the blossoms dry right on the rose plants themselves. It's just the nature of our hot and dry climate here, near desert in the Los Angeles area. I've got some big projects coming up in the front garden. It's time to trim back all the geometrical azalea beds in the front yard. I'm waiting for the Raphiolepis with their beautiful small pink little flowers to finish blooming before I do that. Each year it's always a little trick. I have to figure out just when everything has bloomed and before it starts to set buds for next year, which, according to the way I've been looking at them, it seems to be doing. So there's a little window I have to match there. This year I'm going to apply my 10-minute gardener ethic, and I'm not going to try to do all the trimming in one go. What I found there was that the beds I did early in the day were quite neat and nice, and by the end of the day, when I can barely hold my arms out in front of me due to the weight of the hedge trimmers, they don't look quite as good. So this year I'm going to attack it bed by bed, maybe doing one or two per day, and just stretch it out over a week or so. I think that'll be better both for me and the plants themselves. Coming up here in Los Angeles on the weekend of May 5th and 6th, and just a mile or so from the house, is a country garden fair. This is actually a set of what in Britain they would call an allotment plot. It's a community garden where people can sign up and receive a small gardening area. They're billing this as the Country Garden Fair. They're going to have display gardens. They're going to have bonsai shows. They're going to have plant sales and some entertainment and even a petting zoo for the kids. Since it is so close, and I've been meaning to do this for quite some time, I'm going to make sure that I charge up my video camera and my recorder and go over and shoot some video and do some interviews with some of the gardeners there and talk to them about what they're growing and why they're growing it. As soon as possible after the event, I'll start packaging those clips up and releasing them in the Gardener's Notebook feed. So be sure to subscribe if you're not subscribed already. It's free and you receive each new episode of A Gardener's Notebook automatically. You'll find a link in the upper right-hand corner of the Gardener's Notebook website. If you have any questions about the technology, feel free to email me. I'd be happy to answer your questions. The email address is agn@welchright.com. And that brings us to the end of another Gardener's Notebook. Reading some of the other garden blogs, it looks like spring has finally sprung across the United States, and I hope spring's arrived in your backyard. Until next time, keep digging. This has been A Gardener's Notebook with Douglas E. Welch. Welchrite.com/AGN. That's WELCHWRITE.com/AGN. I'd love to hear what's happening in your garden. Send email to AGN@Welchrite.com or call our listener line, 206-338-5832. Again, that's 206-338-5832. You can also post pictures to the Gardener's Notebook Flickr group. You'll find a link on the website. The theme music for A Gardener's Notebook is provided by The Woodshedders, a.k.a. The Hot Club of West Virginia, courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.